Instead of coasting, they ventured straight offshore and sailed direct to India without the benefit of coastal landmarks on the wings of the southwestern monsoon. The monsoon winds became popular knowledge in the writings of a man called Cosmos Indicoplustes, Cosmos who sailed to India, and in the early first millennium AD, the first pilot's guide of the Erythraean Sea appeared. It has the rather charming title of the Periplus of the Ocean Sea, a periplus, a going around. It is based, clearly, on a Memnonic description of the ports and islands and commodities traded on the shores of the Indian Ocean. It stretches one part from East Africa right round to India. And you learn that this just wasn't an isolated world of isolated towns. The Erythraean Sea was becoming the center of a huge mercantile world that sailed around the edges of the Roman Empire. In the east, the trade routes extended as far as Southeast Asia and indirectly to China. The monsoon winds, as we shall see, linked the elephant ivory-rich East African coast with India, the Red Sea with South Asia, and helped forge a web of interconnectedness in new and lasting economic relationships. What you're seeing here is a new world. It's a world where people, widely separated, were aware of each other in ways they never had been before, where luxury commodities crossed for thousands of miles away from the place where they were made. One example, silk. Silk appears in Egypt at least 2,000 years ago, even earlier. We don't exactly know when. It came probably over land. But there were other commodities too. The other thing that flowed were ideas. And increasingly in the first millennium AD, we begin to see the Mediterranean world becoming more and more linked with that of Asia. Because now we're really beginning to operate in a time of global economies. The vehicle for the monsoon winds was a vessel called the dhow. It was lateen-rigged. Its design goes back deep into the remote past. Few dhows sail today. There are some that do on the East African coast. They come into places like Mombasa and Lamu and Zanzibar and still sail the age-old routes. But the verity behind them is a verity that has operated since the very beginnings of history. And that is that no one community has all the commodities it needs to feed its people, to survive, and to honor its rulers. For instance, back in the 1930s, a famous author who chronicled the dying age of sail, Alan Villiers, spent some time sailing on Indian Ocean dhows. He accompanied them as they went to the mangrove swamps of East Africa, loaded wooden poles, and then passed from port to port up the coast of Somalia and across into Saudi Arabia, where the timber was sold at a high markup, simply because there was no timber for buildings in Saudi Arabia. The trade continued right into very recent times. This was a trade, the Indian Ocean trade, that carried people, ideas, luxuries, and basic commodities. It was a trade that fostered the prosperity of people living thousands of miles away from those to whom they sent gifts, to whom they sent commodities.